Okay, SEC Media Days. I don't know if we've ever gotten you, David.
We talked about doing it last year, but I don't think we did it.
Yeah, David Nuno, Texas. He usually big times us. He tells us every year he will do it, but...
Actually, I think what happens is you ask me until you see Billy's available, and you're like, we're good. We got our A&M fix.
No, I kid. Of course, Tex-Ags, our favorite. Texas A&M coverage. How's it been going so far? I know we haven't even had A&M go yet, but you guys always do a great job getting all the best guests. Have you had a successful media day so far?
I have. I feel this way every year. I get to a point where, like, first off, I can't wait till SEC Media Days comes. And then I'm here. I'm like, I can't wait till it ends. And then I miss it, right? There's a flow to it. There's an energy to getting guests. And really, you think you've done prep before you get here, and then you realize, gosh, there's a lot more I got to get into because, you know, I was filling out my brackets or my rankings for the SEC. I'm like, I don't know enough about long snappers in the SEC to really give a good breakdown. So, yeah, this is the real beginning of prep and the real beginning of football season.
Yeah, it just feels like it kicks everything off. It does. There is that kind of, I don't know, hangover feel you have the next time when you leave. And you're like, oh, yeah, we still have to wait 40 days for it. But, you know, Texas A&M is one team that, I mean, we've talked to a lot of people about a lot of teams. A lot of them have them pinned. College football playoffs, we have teams that we think are going to just be the bottom of the barrel. Texas A&M is one of those that just sits right there in the middle. And depending on what camp you're in, they're either going to have a great year or a bad year. So going into this season, which way are you leaning right now?
I hate saying this because it sounds safe. I have them being about what they were last year. And there's a couple reasons for that. I hope I'm wrong, okay? But they have to prove to me they can win on the road against top teams, something they haven't done in forever. Okay, we're talking forever. They got their first road win in 4 years last year, or 3.5 years last year, when they beat Florida on the road, which was great. But they got to beat ranked teams on the road, which they haven't done. And this year, you're going to potentially have three top 10 teams on the road that you're going to have to beat in order to be in a conversation to, if not get to Atlanta, to be a part of the playoff conversation. So can they win at Notre Dame? Can they win at LSU, which they haven't won in Baton Rouge since 1994? And can they win in Austin? And I have kind of my order of which one is most likely, and I'll just answer it here. I think the Notre Dame game is the most likely victory of the three, not because I don't think Notre Dame is really good, but I think, you know, week three for them, new quarterback. If you're going to win one of these games, that's one of them. I actually have Texas as the second most winnable of the three, not because I think Texas is probably the most talented team they're going to face, but a rivalry game, I like our chances, even though at Kyle Field nothing happened or it didn't happen. But Baton Rouge is just such a hard place for A&M to win or anybody to win. That's how I rank it. So to answer your question in a long form, when they prove to me they can win on the road consistently, that's when I'm ready to go from the 8-4 talk to the 9-3, 10-2, which they were right there if Le'Veon Moss doesn't get hurt, in my opinion.
Where's the fan base at with Mike Elko? And certainly, I mean, no pressure or anything, but it's got to feel weird to – you get this coach, we're trying to shed the 8-4 label, and then it kind of happens again. Now, the past ones can't be put on him.
Right.
But where's the fan base where that happened once again?
See, I'm one of those that doesn't have to look at the past and say that's your university, because we could play that game with Clemson back in the day. You can play that with a lot of teams, right? Texas, before their announcement to move to the SEC, struggled in the 2000s. They won a national championship in 05, I know, but, I mean, they had their struggles. So I don't put that on Coach Elko. I also know that in the SEC, if you are not super deep in November, you're going to lose games. And A&M was not deep enough, which is I can understand it. It was a coaching change, right? You bring in a new guy, and he's trying to get a staff together, get his roster, and make sure he doesn't lose some of his top players. It could be a little tough. If A&M doesn't lose Le'Veon Moss last year, big if, and every season is an if with A&M because you lose quarterbacks, you lose this guy, you lose that guy. But I think the fan base is buying in because he fits A&M. The best fit is winning, right? You can have when Schlossnagel was at A&M baseball, he was a great fit. When he left for Texas, he was a terrible fit, right? So it's all about winning, and I think he's got a little time, more time than some people would say based on what happens this year, because he's recruiting out of this world right now, top 2-3 in the class. You got to keep him. You got to win the proof of concept, right? But I think people are buying.
You know, just second year, Elko, it seems like that's always the year, you know, coordinators take the step. We got Reed potentially taking the step. You know, what do you think watching a Texas A&M game this year outside looking in, will be the biggest change that we will notice, whether it's size, whether it's speed, whether it's style of play? Is there something that you're thinking that's going to look a little different going into year two?
The defensive backs, they better look different, right? Like, people were throwing left and right on A&M. I have probably told both of you this before, but I'll say it out loud. I believe the defense did Marcel Reed a disservice. Marcel had some issues. There's no doubt he needs to throw the ball down the field better. But if that defense comes up with a play against Auburn and comes up with a play against USC, he gave them the lead at the end of the game. Marcel did. He carried that team. They were behind. He carried them, took them on a drive, took the lead. Minute left. They should win those games. If the defense makes tackles, we look at Marcel Reed's stats and compare him to DJ Lagway, the arrow feels like it's pointing up, because the difference was Florida won those games. A&M lost those games. A&M did not lose those games because of Marcel Reed. So the question is, what's going to look different? I think Elko's emphatic speech after that game, where when Olin asked him about the defense, where he said, we couldn't play zone, that's never going to happen again, I think that's going to be different. He's got some new players. He's got some existing players. And I think his imprint, everywhere Elko's gone, the defense has worked, right? Notre Dame, A&M, Duke, it worked. It's going to work here, and I think we'll see that this year. So I think and tackling. You go back to that South Carolina game, everybody struggled to tackle Lenora Sellers. But that dude was Bo Jackson against A&M, right? He would just pop, Tecmo Bowl Bo Jackson, right? Just popping people off. I think tackling will be better. It's a problem in the SEC or in college football in general. I think A&M will really focus on that.
What's your confidence level that Coach Elko gets A&M to the college football playoff? And I don't necessarily mean immediately, but just during his tenure.
Yeah, I think he will. I do. I think he will. I hope it's this year. I've told you guys, I think right now I have him as an 8-4-ish, 9-3 team. But last year was fun, right? Up until November, like, you felt like you had a chance, and you did have a chance. I mean, had you beat Texas, which you didn't, on the last game of the season, or if you would have beat Auburn, you're in the SEC championship game. Now you're for sure in the conversation, right? So I think he will. Another thing, and some of this is not on Elko. Some of this is just on A&M since 2020. They don't have a quarterback finish the season. Haynes King, Zach Calzada in 21. Haynes King, Max Johnson, Connor Wegman in 22. Max Johnson again, and Connor Wegman in 23. And Jalen Henderson, who gets hurt in the bowl game, Marcel Reed comes in. Right? And then 24, Connor isn't as healthy as I would have liked and doesn't play well, and Marcel Reed comes. So if he can get consistency at the quarterback spot, I do think he'll get this team in the playoff in the next couple years. And with that offensive line, they're not even retooled, sorry, as healthy as they are and coming back, that it gives them a fighter's chance. And if you are strong on the defensive line and the offensive line, you definitely have a chance to make it to the college football playoffs.
You know, him going through that list of quarterbacks, A&M's got a heck of a track record identifying and getting guys to campus that are starting quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there's about five elsewhere, but they're still all starters.
No, absolutely. Yeah. It's kind of unique seeing Calzada up there in Kentucky,
right?
Isn't it?
Well, he's like 50 years old, it feels
Haynes
like.
King just killing it down there at Georgia Tech.
But let me ask you this. What coach, and this is kind of a compliment towards Jimbo, what coach wins in that scenario where they're constantly on their second or third quarterback? I mean, Nick Saban probably, because he's Nick Saban. But, you know, Kirby, outside of that, who can handle second and third string quarterback? Last year, Texas could have had Quinn gone down. You had Arch, but not a lot of teams did. And the one thing I'll say about the Jimbo era, they found ways to lose games, no doubt. But they were in all those games. They very rarely lost by double digits. It was typically a score game, and that's what I think, especially that Ole Miss game, which was basically the nail in Jimbo's coffin, was the last one. Like, you can't finish these games.
Well, we talked about Notre Dame, LSU, Texas, but there's two other road games. And one of them intriguing because it's Arkansas and yep. You're not in Jerry's world. Which of those two teams, the other one being Mizzou, mm-hmm. are you more worried about this team seeing on the road?
Interesting, because I discounted Missouri so much. Like, they lost everybody. There's no way they're going to be. And then this is what happens. You do the rounds, right? And people start changing your mind, right? And then, you know, I was like, Arkansas is going to suck. That's what I think. And, like, people remind me, have you seen Taylor Green's stats and how good he actually was? Like, he didn't really have pieces around him. Give him a chance. So I will say that I believe Arkansas is my answer right now. But if Missouri does answer those questions, if Prabula ends up being a guy, right, and that defense is as good as we think they are, and they're able to run the game – I might change my answer because I look at Missouri, I'm like, they don't play anybody, and they lost it. Like, they're like last season. They came in Kyle Field. I was not worried about them, and A&M took care of business. Turned out to be a better season than A&M had, right? So so I'd say right now more concerned about Arkansas because that series, it feels like every year, especially in Jerry World, it comes down to a play or two, and it's crazy games. And now we're going there, Fayetteville, and I've never been to Fayetteville, so I think that one, but that's not necessarily a shot at Missouri. I think it's just because of history.
Who do you think will be A&M's go-to receiver this year?
Got to be Casey Concepcion. Got to be. I think he's going to be huge for them. I'm super intrigued by Mario Craver. Super intrigued. I don't know if he's your alpha. I don't know if he's that kind of guy. Casey's proven it, right? When he's got chemistry with a quarterback, that guy will put up some big-time numbers. So that's going to be the question. How in sync is he and Marcel Reed, and how does Colin Klein use him? I think it's got to be Casey Concepcion. Look, one thing about Marcel is that he struggled throwing the ball down the field, but also his wide receivers got no separation. They were nice, but no separation. I think this group of receivers with Terry Bussey, who found out he's going to be a wide receiver a couple weeks before the season, was practicing as a defensive back, and then they changed him. And, you know, he was 17 years old and got to campus. I think Bussey's a big playmaker. Mario Craver's a big playmaker. KC's a big playmaker. What I question is who's going to be the big body that Noah Thomas was. And I think Jerome Miles, the freshman who's just – I talked to Billy earlier today. Apparently he's just doing awesome in training right now. Like, people are really intrigued. He's the one guy that could, but you don't want to count on a freshman. That's where I worry. But I think from separation standpoint – all three of those guys I mentioned will be huge.
I always wondered, you know, because we talked style earlier, and, you know, when you look at a team like Vanderbilt that almost plays keep away and they have the ability to just keep the chains moving, I think A&M has that opportunity with this, you know, veteran offensive line. Some say one of the better running back duos in the country. Do you see a little bit of that kind of shift? I know we like to talk Concepcion and Bussey and all these guys, but do you see a little bit more leaning into that ground and pound, which Elko loves?
100%, 150%. I'll make it real easy for you. 4th-and-1 last year on their third string running back, and Amari Daniels on a lot of places is not a third string running back, but they weren't able to get those 4th-and-1s against Texas, and there was a couple other ones they could not get last season. But Coach Elko wanted to run the ball down their throats, right? And he kept on doing it. And he did it a couple times against Texas, a 4th-and-3 and a 4th-and-1. They tried to, and it did not work, right? So I do think they're going to – when you got Le'Veon Moss healthy, right? Like, why wouldn't you give him the ball? This is one of the top running backs in the SEC, which means in the country, right? When he is healthy, and he's a tough player. You got Reuben Owens healthy this year. A lot of people forgot about him, but he was one of the top running backs in the country, recruits out of a couple years back in Texas. And he got hurt last year, comes in the last two games of the season, which most people take the whole season off. He forced himself to come back early, was not himself. I think he'll be himself. I hope Le'Veon's himself, because that's what Coach Elko's saying, that he looks like himself. So, yeah, I think you're going to have to. And that's how Coach Elko wants to play the game. A line of scrimmage league, he's going to lean into that.
I got to ask, because there's so much money down there in Texas, and I have seen some outfits this week.
Yeah.
I'm talking chains, everything. The NIL is plentiful. Like, what is the parking lot at these campuses look like? I would imagine who's driving the nicest car or who has the biggest house.
Do you hear any of that? No, you know, that's I will tell you that I think – you can quote me on this, but I think I'm right on here. Some schools love to show the flash. So here's how I answer that. When Coach Elko got to Texas A&M, he went to go visit a bunch of the high school coaches around the state, right? And one of these high schools he called up. He says, hey, I'm coming. I'll be there in an hour. And the coach says to Coach Elko, hey, you know, have your entourage drive you to the back, and you know, we'll bring you in. And Coach Elko says, it's just me and my pickup. That's Texas A&M. Me and my pickup. You know, that's R.C. Slocum, Jackie Sherrill. Like, we're so, yeah, I'm sure there's a Viper or something really nice, but it's, I haven't seen it when I walk to campus, yeah. And I walk right by the player lot all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got rid of those guys with Jimbo. All right, final thing.
Yeah, they were there. I'm sure we got a couple.
Well, so all week, we're brought to you by MyBookie. They're our presenting sponsor. They're paying our way to be here, so we're very grateful.
Thank you, MyBookie.
So we're asking everybody that stops by, they're MyBookie. Bold take of the year. Could be A&M, could be anything SEC related. What's your boldest take?
boldest take?
Huh.
I cringe talking Texas because it sounds like I'm an Aggie talking about Texas, okay? And I am an Aggie talking about Texas, okay? So I don't think they're going to be as good as everybody says. That does not mean I have them as third in the SEC in 10-2, 9-3-ish, right? I think they're going to be a work in progress in the beginning and figure it out at the end. That's not a real bold take, though. You want a bold take, right?
A bold Very take, bold. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. Carry the two. Like Pythagorean
Shane
theorem.
Stopped eating. Shane will stop eating dessert after today. That's a bold take.
Yeah, a bold take, bro. That's not going to happen. I'm eating a salad, and he comes by and he says his things, and then the guy sitting next to me says, "Yeah, Shane and I've been eating all the desserts." I didn't even know you knew that guy. Just some random guy talking to me. He did say that.
Yeah, that's right. It's my dessert, buddy.
Yeah. Bold take. All right. It's not about a bowl. I'm going to make it about a bowl. I don't think Lenore Sellers is what everybody says he is. Okay? Which means South Carolina is not going to have the kind of season that people are talking about. They're going to be nice. I think Lenore Sellers is really good. And I do have him. It's going to sound like I'm talking out of two sides of my mouth. Follow me on this. I have him as one of the top quarterbacks entering the season. No doubt. You saw what he did last year. But the fact that people are calling him Cam Newton, like, that's one of the greatest seasons we've ever seen in the way they finish. And I don't think he's got the pieces around him this year to do what he did last year. You could argue last year he made those pieces around him. And I would listen to that, and I'd be like, you know what? You're right. But I just don't see it happening 2 years in a row. So I don't think South Carolina is going to be in the conversation for the college football playoffs like they were last year. And some of that is out of – it's not Lenore's fault that the defense probably won't be as good, that his pieces around him are not the same. I just don't think he is that level of transcendent player. This is a comparison I've used, KJ Jefferson. You used to be really high on KJ, right?
Oh, yeah, I loved him.
I think he's KJ Jefferson-esque. Might be have a higher upside. But, like, when Arkansas lost a couple of those players, he didn't seem to be the same player. They also kept on changing offensive coordinators on him. And I know South Carolina made a change at offensive coordinator as well. So that's my hot take. I think South Carolina, I love Shane Beamer. I love him. Like, his personality, yeah, everything about him I like. But I think they take two steps back this year. And it's not because of Lenore's. It's about the pieces around Lenore's that maybe shows who Lenore's really is.
David, thank you so much. Before you go, tell our audience how to follow you, how to find the show.
Well, if you're in South Carolina, you probably want to block me. I'm kidding. You can follow me on all social media channels at David Nuno. I believe that's what it is, N-U-N-O. And also I'm on TexHacks.com. And thank you guys for having me. I really appreciate your format.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.